7 Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. Weather for the KRVS listening area. Sunny this afternoon with a high near 86 degrees. Breeze from the north at 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 63. And on Tuesday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Partly sunny with a high near 85. A north breeze at 5 miles per hour. Currently, it's fair and 85 here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Judith Merriweather will join us in just a few minutes at 4 o'clock. It's All Things Considered from NPR News. We begin with music by pianist John O'Connor with the Irish Chamber Orchestra under the direction of Mitch Farber. They will be performing Irish classics, beginning with this one entitled Haste to the Wedding.
And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Joellen Brakefield and Leah Grafe with the Children's Museum of Acadiana. Joellen is the creative director. How nice to have a position just called creative director at the Children's Museum. They are here to talk about summer camps. Seems to be a big topic around town right now where your kid's going to summer camp. A lot of parents are starting to panic a little bit about where am I going to sign my children up. So you're here to help them with that.
To make that choice.
And you all have a number of camps going on this summer, starting in June, I guess.
Yes, we're really excited about the variety of summer camps that we have to offer this year. Starts off with ham camp. That's the first time that we're trying a ham radio certification camp, summer camp. It's an intensive one. They'll become certified with their technical radio license and then go on to even make a motor.
Well, I know that you all have been associated with the ham people for a while now and have offered some courses throughout the year, but this is the first summer camp.
Yes, that's correct. It's the Pew Family Fund has been so generous to support the ham radio classes throughout the museum. We're going into our sixth year now. So, yeah, and keeping that old tradition alive.
Well, it is. It's, you know, I'm sure the images that come up in people's minds with ham radio go back to, say, the 40s and 50s, you know, and something you rode away for and learned about. But there are still some great enthusiasts around here, and I know they're very eager to pass that enthusiasm on young people.
Oh, yes. Yes. They do get quite a head full when they come through the ham certification at the Children's Museum of Acadiana.
Well, what are the age ranges for the ham camp?
We are, because there is going to be soldering involved. They're going to make a battery.
So no five-year-olds.
No. Let's see. My age groups on that are 10 years to 18. And the camp is going to run June 4th through 8th, and it's in the morning. Actually, we're doing something new with our summer camps. We're opening an hour earlier for camp instruction. Our normal hours of operation are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. But with our summer camps, we're running Monday through Friday, a full work week for you parents out there, and it is a drop-off service. So it's 9 to noon every day, all of our camps. So you don't have to figure out what to do with daycare for
the whole morning,
for the whole week.
Especially for those 18-year-olds.
So
ham camp is, that's going to be a little mouthful, ham camp. People are going to start saying ham camp at the Children's Museum of Acadiana. Again, a long-time association with the ham radio aficionados.
And the Pugh family. They're the backbone for it.
Great professional instruction they'll be getting for this. Now, I wish people... We're a bit handicapped in radio. We don't have a lot of visuals, immediate visuals. But you have a wonderful little robot here that is made out of a variety of materials. Why did you bring this robot?
Well, yes, all recycled materials, might I add, because that's our bread and butter at the CMA. This guy came in as a donation to us about 4 weeks ago. He's a freestanding robot. He's standing about 24 inches tall, and he's constructed out of what looks like pool tubing, an international coffee tin, a Pop-Tarts box, and two very fine plastic cars for feet, I might add.
And that still rolls.
Oh, yes. And that's the important part, is that it moves. So I knew with Campstruction, now that's the new one, we're opening up to more boys, because we've got a lot of things for girls at the museum. We don't have enough fun build-a-bot kind of things for boys. So he's the motto for Campstruction. So we'll be making robots, catapults, and the pièce de résistance is the Rube Goldberg project.
That goes on during Campstruction.
Campstruction, yes. On the last 3 days of camp, we're going to let the kids make a Rube Goldberg project in the large gallery that we have. And it's all part of a competition that is sponsored through pbskids.org. And the challenge that they've set forth is to build the most complicated contraption you can come up with that puts toothpaste onto a toothbrush in 20 steps.
Well, now there's something that'll grab kids' attention. Because the potential for extra toothpaste getting everywhere will be quite attractive. So that's going to go on during Campstruction as
Yes, yes. Okay. And we'll submit our designs to pbskids.org. And hopefully we get a good little video. Who knows? It might be up on their website.
Okay. Now, Leah, are you involved in all of the camps this summer?
I'm going to be the guest instructor for the ceramics camp and for the messy media workshops.
All right, so two other, so y'all have a lot going on at the Children's
Museum. Oh, and a jewelry
camp. All right, so Joellen has been talking about Campstruction, where they're going to be making creatures that move, and some Rube Goldberg raceways there, as well as the ham camp that starts off in early June. And you mentioned two others, Leah. What are those two again?
The ceramics camp, which is going to be June 11th through the 15th. It's going to be Zach Gonsolin and myself, and we're going to instruct the kids on basic ceramic techniques of, you know, wedging clay, coil building, pinch pots, just different kind of techniques. And we're also going to be doing the messy media workshops, which is kind of the Mother's Day out where they can once again drop the children off at 9 a.m. and just get messy with us all day.
Do y'all shower them off, hose them down before they go home?
Well, we do have a hose in the back. Yeah. That might be required a couple days, maybe even the bubble painting day.
Yeah.
Or just pass them through Parc Sanssouci. Yeah, that fountain goes off.
That's
a good ending for the camp.
Oh, that's a fabulous idea, Judith.
So ceramics camp, how long does that last?
It is going to be June 11th through the 15th. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's for 5 to 8 years. And then for 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., the 9 to 12-year-olds can come. And we're just going to have a really fun time. I know I'm excited.
Yeah, because we have the kiln. We got a very generous donation of a kiln about a year ago. So now we're able to not just do a glazing project, because mm-hmm. we always had available the commemorative hand tiles that you could purchase to support the museum. But now we can actually fire our own hand-built works and even glaze them. So the kids will go home by the end of the class with at least one finished fired piece, and then we'll fire the rest of them the following week.
Pieces that won't fall apart in the Louisiana humidity.
They'll actually be fired.
Well, Leigh, is your background in ceramics?
I actually have a visual arts degree at UL, and I did focus in photography, but I did take a lot of ceramics classes, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, they have a good ceramics
department
here.
They really do, yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you worked with children before?
I actually do. I am a teaching artist for the PACE program through the ACA, and I've done some workshops and volunteer with the Children's Museum.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you find that that's an activity most children enjoy?
They really do, because you know, generally they're used to painting and a lot of two-dimensional things. So when they get a chance to build a 3D object and really get their hands really dirty you know, working with the earth and things like that, they really get excited about that.
Yeah, and it's something that's probably a little harder in most, I guess, school year art classes to set out all of that clay and allow things to get that messy.
Yes.
So it's a good opportunity for them.
Yeah, so this is going to be something great. Mm-hmm. They're going to really enjoy it.
And what's the second camp that you're
involved? The second camp is the Mesa Media workshops, and those are going to go on, I think they're Tuesday and Thursdays throughout
July.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to do different things, bubble painting, fingerprint paintings. They get to paint sculptures. It's basically anything that mom might not want to do around the house. They can come to the Children's Museum and feel free to make a mess.
So you're not committing to an entire week of instruction. It's just a drop-off Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, those will be individual day camps. Getting towards the July, we found that a lot of families take vacations. And so we wanted to offer something still for the community, for parents, working parents in particular. Or, you know, the stay-at-home mom that just needs a little time to go grocery shopping or take the car in for service. So those ages are actually 4 years to 12. And we can accommodate
for the messy media.
For the messy media. And we're offering them as individual days, or you can buy them for the whole week. There is a discount there. And, of course, you can always find the schedule of fees on our website at www.cmalaf.org. Mm-hmm. And on Facebook, we've posted everything for the summer camps as well.
Okay, so you can sign up, like them on Facebook, and you'll get notices about what's going on at the Children's Museum of Acadiana. If you have just tuned in, my guests are the Children's Museum Creative Director, Joellen Brakefield, and Leah Grafe, who will be working with a couple of the camps this summer. Quite a number of them. Maybe we should recap all the ones that we've mentioned,
Joellen. Okay, certainly. First off on our schedule this summer is Ham Camp, and that's going to run June 4th through the 8th. We're looking at students ages 10 to 18. The fee for that camp is $50, and it is so low because it's the whole ham radio efforts that we do at the museum are generously supported by a grant from the Pew Family Fund. Mm-hmm. It's a little tongue twister there. And following that, we have ceramics camp. We have two sessions. We'd like to locate some younger students as well as some older ones. So we're looking at ages 5 to 8 for the morning session. That'll be instructed by Miss Leah. And then for the afternoon run, I believe 2 to 4 p.m. And we're looking at older kids for that, 9 to 12 years. And that'll be instructed by Zachary Gosselin. He's our art director. The fee for that camp is $120 for non-members. $110 for members. Going on, we have a jewelry camp. That's one we haven't touched on yet. I'll be instructing that one. I love jewelry. It's my first calling. I've got my degree from UL here in metalsmithing and jewelry arts. So we'll do a little sampling of all the different techniques from handmade beads. I'll even teach them how to make a jump ring and connect it. So we'll make a few projects there. Hair jewelry, some bracelets, and some necklaces.
And what age group for the jewelry?
We're looking for 5 to 12 years there.
Okay.
And that camp will run June 25th through the 29th. Okay, the fee for that one is $90 for non-members and $80 for members. And then we finally have our camp structure. This, I think, is going to be my favorite.
Well, the way you were cradling that robot here.
Oh, I just love
really
him.
Like him.
I'm about to start practicing the Rube Goldbergs next week.
It's really lovely, and it looks like his lungs are made out of those, I guess those little things you put roses in, you know, those
little green tubes. That's exactly it. The stem stays for florists.
Mm-hmm.
Waste not, want not, my grandma always said.
It sounds like you all definitely are following her instructions. So camp structure.
Yes, and that's going to be July 9th through the 13th, 5 to 12 years, and that'll be taught by James Tansel. He's actually instructor here at UL in the art department.
And my
husband.
Yes, your husband. But he's come before, I think, to talk about some of the special workshops you all have done at the Children's Museum.
Yeah, he did a great media workshop last fall. And then, of course, we've got our messy media Mother's Day, or we're calling Parents Day out, because dads need time, too.
That's true.
And with Miss Leah, and the different projects will vary every day. So please check out our website, cmalaf.org, or Facebook. We've uploaded everything there. Or you can call the museum, too, 232-8500. Ask for any of the staff members. Be more than happy to help you. And then we have one last thing. Our special gift to the community this summer is Watercolor Wednesdays. That'll be a free workshop to the public with paid admission. And we're going to be getting different guest artists to play watercolor with the kids. Kite Iman, he's a painting student, graduated a few years from here. Amy Howard, I talked to her at Art Walk on Saturday night. She did bubble painting with us last year. She can't wait to come and do some messy with us. So she's going to come on board for Watercolor Wednesdays and maybe even come play with you, Messy Media, Miss Leah.
You know I'll be there.
I'd love to just pop in at the end of each day this summer at the Children's Museum and see the colors everywhere, paint, ceramics. It sounds like it's going to be a very busy, vibrant, happy, messy time this summer at the museum.
Well, it's funny you say that because you can. Actually, on the Friday, the last day of all these summer camps, we're going to be installing their work into our gallery space. And at 11 a.m. on the Friday, we're going to open up the doors so the kids can have their own art show.
All right, so a little lunchtime art show. Public could come in and see what they've been doing all week long.
Oh, yes.
These future artists in our community. You know, we laugh about that, but every artist that we talk about or welcome into our studios, they were kids once too, you know, and taking little art classes someplace, some summer program, you know, maybe at the rec center or
spend
something.
Spend time at the Children's Museum.
Do you remember spending time, Leah?
Oh, yes.
Well, it's got to start somewhere.
Absolutely, yeah.
There goes Bill Gabbat.
And he's adding his vote to it as well.
Again,
my guests are with the Children's Museum of Acadiana talking about their summer offerings for kids and even some for teens as well. Joellen Brakefield is the creative director over at the CMA, and Leah Grafe will be one of the instructors with Messy Media Day and the Ceramics Camp. So if you weren't able to jot down all of the camps, you can go to their website or to their Facebook page and find out more about it. Of course, you can always call as well. And what are your summertime hours again?
Our summer hours for general public admission to the museum is Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. But we do have some special times we're offering with the summer camps.
All right. So make sure to visit the museum as well, because you continue to have all of your regular activities there. And maybe just to remind some parents, what kinds of activities can the children do there normally?
Oh, normally, well, the exhibits, some of you parents may remember, the museum has been open for 16 years now. Mm-hmm. We're actually going to celebrate our Sweet 16 this summer. Look for that on our calendar of events, because we're going to have a big cake. Free to the public, come and slice a cake with us, have a piece,
celebrate. All these grown-up alums like Leah can come and celebrate too.
But yes, a lot of our core exhibits have not changed, because the basic needs of children don't change. Mm-hmm. That need for role-playing, imagination, so the grocery store, Le Petit Magasin, is still there, where you can pretend to be a shopper, or no, it's not pretend, you are a shopper.
Yeah.
You can work as the clerk, you can work as the cashier. We defined the what it is to be a cashier and the roles and the duties that you have there. Of course, we also always have our Le Café des Enfants, our little cafe where you can be seated by a five-year-old server. They'll take your order so graciously and prepare the most delicious food you have ever had in your life. Of course, our bubble tower, make a 6-foot bubble over your head. Let's see, Architecture Alley. We just finished redoing our blocks. They are so beautiful right now. We rehabbed them and sanded them down already for the summer. Love to come through, gave them a nice conditioning.
Build some walls, build some fortresses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And Ami, she's closed right now. Ami, the ambulance, she's closed for repairs right now. Actually, her front seats are off. Acadian Ambulance is the generous sponsor for that exhibit. So her front end is closed right now, but the kids can still play doctor and paramedic and, triage their bobos.
So these are the things that children can do any day of the week when the museum is open.
Oh, yes, rain or shine.
All right. So take the opportunity to visit the Children's Museum of Acadiana if you have a chance with your own children. Give them some summer memories, and then also find out about the summer camps. Either their website, call them, or go to their Facebook page as well.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you all for coming by. Thank you for bringing the robot. It's quite inspiring. You should put a picture of him up on your Facebook.
Yes, actually, examples are going to be coming down the pike. I just finished my homework with the polymer clay last night. So I have to bake that and string it up. So I was going to do a little Facebook photo spread, see what you will get. Bang for your buck.
All right. And then hopefully some of the ceramic offerings will be posted up on Facebook as well later on this summer. Again, Joellen Brakefield, Creative Director at the Children's Museum of Acadiana, and Leah Grafe, who works with the PACE program during the year, but is working at the Children's Museum this summer with she'll be working with lots of children. Find out more about it and visit the Children's Museum.
Oh, yes. Oh, and one last thing. Mm-hmm. I have a special gift for our listeners today. Mm-hmm. We have two offers here. Anyone who calls in to the station this afternoon, we would like to we'll pick a number in a second, Judith. How's that? And we'll make it that number caller calls into the station. They get 4 free family passes to the CMA.
Mm, okay. Well, we'll see what happens.
Okay. Thank you so much for having us today. It's always a pleasure coming to the studios. You guys are so great.
Well, thank you so much, Joellen Brakefield and also Leah Gray.
Thank you. Thank you.
Here on KRVS, we've been listening to music by the Trio con Brio Copenhagen. That was a performance of the first movement of the piano trio in A minor by Maurice Ravel. You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles. It's 33 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock and time to head back into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
And with me in the KRVS studios now is Kimberly Johnson-Nagel and Devin Chasson. Kimberly has written a play called A Woman's Journey that will be produced at Theater 810. It will run May 18th through the 20th and May 25th through the 27th. Devin is one of the actors in the play. And Kimberly, tell us a bit about your background in writing and then theater as well.
I guess I started writing years ago in high school type thing, and also in college as well. Well, the first college I went to, and loved it, and discovered that I had a talent for it, and that I also enjoyed it and wanted to progress from there. And I always became like a almost like a something second behind me, because I would, you know, was living life and doing their things and working. I said, well, and writing was always my standard. I could always go back to it. And over the years, I've, you know, been things like freelance and things like that. And I always like took, you know, writing classes, and decided that once I moved to New Orleans from Dallas, I wanted to develop playwriting skills and style. I wanted to actually showcase stories instead of just poems or narratives, and to build from there, and got this concept of some different one-act plays, which is kind of like my little comfort area there, and to start writing a little bit by a little bit and submit some things to New Orleans. Never was successful, but still kept writing. And then with the unfortunate and fortunate luck of Katrina, it brought us to Acadiana. And I met, went by the college at SLCC, South Louisiana Community College. Met my mentor, Dr. Alex Marshall, who was my instructor for a class. And I said, hey, by the way, I happen to be a writer and I have some plays. Would you like to look at them? He said, yeah, okay. You know, people probably get like hundreds of those every semester from students. But he did, and he
has inspired hundreds and hundreds of students in this
which
area.
I found that I was like, I feel very proud to be in that small, you know, that large circle of people that he's that he's helped along the way. And got my first show produced at the Hub City Theater Festival in 2007, which also ended up winning Best Play, which is one of the shows we're showcasing at this show coming up. It's actually kind of like a revival of two one-act plays that I put together. And
well, tell you, it sounds like your early writing was a little more personal, private poetry.
Poetry's only, prose, short stories. Not like that I wanted to actually, you know, get anything out there. I just wanted to write because it was a comfort level for me. I lived in native Texan, moved from East Texas to Dallas, then from Dallas to New Orleans. And of course, Katrina brought us here. But along the way, I always would write. And then I would write small things for people, like people like for their wedding program, I'd write a poem for them or write something like that, and you know, and submit different things. And never really wanted to, never thought I would actually progress to anything that people would actually see and actual read, other than my family
members. Audience there, yeah.
Yeah, and they actually liked it and didn't like go like, oh my gosh, what is she talking about? So,
well, what inspired you to actually start writing drama?
Systems of your area, emergency alert system equipment that can quickly warn you during emergencies is being tested. If this has been an actual emergency, such as a tornado, flood, evacuation, toxic release, or any emergency that you, the public, should have been timely alerted, official messages would have followed the alert tone. The station serves as a vital part of the Louisiana State Emergency Alert System. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Poetry, you can do that, but you're limited. Same for narrative works, you know, in prose, you can, you're limited. But with plays, you can actually tell a story
and reach a larger audience
within a 30-minute, two-hour concept. And I like the idea of that. And then that those stories became lines. Those lines became a play. So definitely changes in life changed my writing, which I'm happy about, though, too.
And did you find just living in New Orleans affected your writing? Did it have an effect in addition to just personal things going on in your own life?
It did. I told someone recently that New Orleans is a place where if you have, not even have necessarily artistic talent, if you have an artistic drive to do something in the arts, all that's encouraged in New Orleans. As a writer, as a dancer, as an actor, as a musician, things like that, you can, that's encouraged in New Orleans. And and it's not not saying that people, you know, will think about you and say, hey, well, maybe you shouldn't do that, but they're like, hey, you know, go ahead. You know, you'll see people painting on the street or singing on the street,
dancing in the street.
And it's not thought of, you know, like maybe like someone from out of town, like, oh my gosh, what they're doing, but someone from New Orleans, like, oh, where are you? They're just expressing themselves.
Seems very natural and normal.
And being there was got me really thinking that, okay, I really can do something with the writing, because I was encouraged, not necessarily with the people I met, but just by being in the city. And I lived uptown, and I did a lot of walking. I did a lot of places I can go, little small little places I would go and take my notebook, which I always have a bag with me, and notebook, and I go anywhere in the city and write. So, so yeah, being there was definitely a life-changing for me personally, and also for my writing, because I was able to do that and just and feel comfortable and not out of place doing it. So
Well, and so then you mentioned that you came this direction after Katrina and settled in New Iberia.
We did,
And it really surprised you how much theater we have around here.
I was actually, I'll be honest, I was shocked. Mm-hmm. I did not realize there were so many, not only are there so many great communities that surround, which I grew up in a small town, so it was a good feel for me to be here. But not only are there so many communities in the area, just, I mean, when I say like just Acadiana, but within those small communities, there's some type of theater. And I was surprised. I mean, I thought maybe you would see it like at a, you know, maybe like here, and maybe I'm thinking like in Lafayette. But then you go to Abbeville, you go to St. Martinville, you go to Opelousas, you go to Franklin. You have all these small communities, and they all have a theater program. I thought, like, how great is that? Yeah. You know, because it's not something that people associate maybe with this part of the state, or maybe as southern, maybe, you know, like the larger cities are seen as theater communities, you know, like Dallas or Atlanta, things like that. But people don't see us. Necessarily, people always, I think, associate our area with, of course, with food and with music, but the arts association in this area is tremendous, and I love the fact that I can come here not only still be a writer, but be encouraged to be a writer as well. So I was really happy about that, and it opened up so many opportunities to me that I will be forever thankful for, because it was this community that not only embraced us as a family, because there were a lot of things going on after Katrina, and a lot of people had their own thoughts and feelings about how things were done, how things were handled, but this community embraced us as a family, but also embraced me as a writer. I'm like, I can able to really do something with writing here and actually be okay, you know. So,
well, obviously you mentioned that you won the Hub City Theater Festival. You got first place for your entry in 2007.
Yeah, the first year of the program shocked me too.
Tell us about that production.
Oh, I was beyond excited. It was thing that I talked to Dr. Marshall about. He's okay, let's do that through his production company. I said okay, and I didn't know what to do, and I was like okay. Then at the time I was still going to school, I was, you know, still finishing up school for the semester, but also we were getting married. My husband and I were getting married that summer as well, so I think the festival was in June. We bought our house in May, and we got married in July in New Orleans. So I was doing all that at the same time. Absolutely insane. Loved it, but it was crazy. And then I was just like this crying person, and I'm like, oh, I can't believe it, you know, and all kind of thing, because I was so happy and that I was able to do this with a play that I'm passionate about, but also something that I've done for the first time and in my new community, because we've only been here about 2 years by then. So it was a great feeling, and it told me then, okay, maybe this is something that I can really do and really enjoy. Mm-hmm. So,
what was the title of your piece?
Well, it's Colorless, is the one I play. And Colorless is also one of the two one-acts that's in The Woman's Journey. The Woman's Journey is actually a series of one-act plays that I wrote where women are the main characters. And we're doing two acts as far as the show, and Colorless was one of them. And it's probably my baby, I guess, the one that I'm passionate about, all of them, but the one that they really got me started. So, and it was a great concept, great idea that's very present day, that's affected a lot of people over the years. So I was excited that we're able to do this show again with a different cast, a different venue, and still have people want to see it. So I'm happy about that.
Well, one of your actresses is here with us in the studio as well. And I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, speaking with me is Kimberly Johnson Nagel. She's a writer, and her production of One Acts, A Woman's Journey, will be performed at Theater 810, which is at 810 Jefferson Street in downtown Lafayette, for 2 weekends, May 18th through the 20th and the 25th through the 27th. And with us is Devin Chasson, who is acting in both plays. Devin, are you in both of them, or just...
Just in the female being.
Okay, all right. Well, tell us a bit about your background. How long have you been acting?
I think I started in undergrad with UL. Mm-hmm. I said, what kind of electives can I take where I can actually pass and enjoy? So theater popped in my mind with dance classes. So I just started taking theater classes. And I would do things like work on the senior projects, like maybe just do background or, you know, so I kind of would.
So you were learning all aspects of theater.
Yes, I'm still
not
learning.
Not just the acting part of it. Yeah.
Right.
So what plays were you involved with at UL?
I know there's one senior project. It was called Trying to Be by one of the students. I think they reenacted Into the Dark with another senior production.
It's quite a creative department, the performing arts department here at UL. So you felt that you would enjoy the acting part of it also.
I did, but Cité was really where I, you know, kind of felt at home and really got a chance to divulge in it. And, of course, of being a part of Ken's production of A Woman's Journey.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, did you all meet when you auditioned for the play, when you had auditions?
We met originally back in 2007 for and she worked with Dr. Marshall on his production company and helped with the show as well when she was still a student. So we met then. So I've always knew that at some point I said, hey, look, you know, I have a part. Well, if you come and read for it and come do it. So, okay. And so it was good. So yeah, we met originally back then. We have kept in touch off and on over the years. So it was good to be able to have familiar faces with the show.
Definitely.
I think we did Willie and Me. We did a reading.
Yeah, I did a reading of another one act for the Hub State Theater Festival for 2011 called Willie and Me. It's about a young woman in New Orleans who meets who she thinks is William Shakespeare. But that's for another time. But yeah, that's something that's out there that I'd like to do at some point as well.
Well, it's all the vogue right now. Encounters with Shakespeare.
Yeah. Because he's, as a writer, not to sound like a, cliche, but, as a writer, you have to have, you're going to read him at some point in your, time, either high school or college.
Read plays.
Yeah, and I like the his concept and way he put, words together and things like that. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely was a influence among other many writers.
Well, tell us about these plays. It's called A Woman's Journey, the production. Mm-hmm. You mentioned one, Colorless, and what is the other?
The Female Being.
The Female Being.
Yeah.
Well, tell us, just without giving away anything, tell us what they're each about.
Colorless is about a couple of different races who want to tell their parents about each other. And from that comes conversation from a mother and a daughter, because it's that parent is involved, between a mother and daughter, a man and a woman, and the three of them together. And I want to show that even in 2012, there are issues with people of relationships with persons of another race, and I want to show that and let people know that people love each other no matter what. And but unfortunately, sometimes people that you love also may not love the idea. So that's kind of an idea of what that's about. And The Female Being is about pretty much women talking to each other about being a woman. And and it's kind of a play on words with the different that change around for the female being of just being female. And these women sit around and they talk and they express who they are as women, and they each have their own different types of characters and different people who they are, but we are all these people as women in one. And I think the audience will see that. So and there are conversations that women have with each other that we don't have with anyone else. And that's kind of a expression of that in The Female Being.
Well, Devin, which character do you play?
Oh, gosh. The young one.
The young one. Is that your name?
Everybody's
the young
one? Everybody's wiser than me. Okay. No, that's literally the name of mine.
It's a name. Yeah.
Yeah. She's in that era of young adulthood. I'm like, I'm a full woman now, but I'm still haven't even grasped the brisk of life yet. So all of them are basically advising me and sharing with me their different stories and their different experiences through their lifehood, and it's influencing her.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel she grows?
She grows
during the course of the play.
She does eventually.
Yeah. She
a little bit of resistance.
She learns a little bit about herself through contact with these other women.
Mm-hmm. So, and what are the other women called?
They are conservative one, young one, wild one, eccentric one, and older one.
All right. So they're every woman.
All these women telling me.
Exactly. Yeah. They were different women, but they were every woman. Yeah. Yes.
So. And again, we are talking about A Woman's Journey, which is made up of these two one-act plays written by my guest, Kimberly Johnson-Nagel. Mm-hmm. And Devin Chasson plays the young one. Mm-hmm. The plays are being directed by Bria Hopgood.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about Bria.
Bria is a... I'm very fortunate to have her in my life as a friend and also as a director. She's a very talented actor here in town, has been for a good bit, and I'm very happy to have her on my side and in my corner. Also a UL graduate. Actually, the play is pretty much filled with UL graduates almost, even one recently who just graduated, Chris Matoti, he's in it as well. And she was in the original production. We did the the show for the Hub City Theater Festival the following spring. We did a two-weekend run of the show with another one act. It was three one acts at the time at Sete, and she was in that production. And so when I wanted to do this, she came on board and said, hey, I'll direct it if you want me to. I'm like, okay.
So she experienced it as an actress.
Yes.
And
she's directed as well. So which gives it even more of a feminine feel, mm-hmm. having a predominantly female cast, female writer, and also now a female director. And I know that it sounds like it's really female heavy, but it's still very man friendly as well.
Just what's it? Don't be sad.
So I'm very happy to have someone that talented on my side and, mm-hmm. and to do the show. Mm-hmm. And she's doing a great job as director as well as because she sees things differently mm-hmm. than I would as a writer, and she's able to really put those thoughts down to paper and ideas with the other actors and makes the whole concept come together. So I'm happy to have her directing my show.
Right, and she's lived and matured since her original encounter with
the
play.
Yes, exactly.
So different experiences.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a whole different, even though the actual lines are the same, the concept and the feel is very different. Mm-hmm. And that makes it, I think, even more of an emotional show because of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to have this group with me to give this feeling of, hey, we are... we're doing something good with this show.
The cast is so fun to work with. They're all so talented.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. And they're all actors, but of course they all have like lives and jobs and families, and they're still able to create these characters and do this thing, which is something I never was good at. I was never an actor or a director. I only did poetry and short stories in high school and college and things like that. But so I love the fact that here are these regular people able to bring these emotions and everything to a character, which is something I just wanted to present the words, the story to the people and let the actors who are really good at it and really want to do
it. That's the magic of theater, isn't it?
And really want to do it, have them actually make these characters come to life. So I'm very excited to have these talented people with me.
Another wonderful aspect of your project is that it will be performed at Theater 810, which mm-hmm. is very intimate theater, and it sounds like your subjects are something that you want to get close to.
It is.
It only holds about 50 people.
Right, exactly.
So it's probably a good idea if you're interested in seeing this play to reserve a ticket for one of the nights.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. We have that on the flyers and different information. If I can give the theater phone number,
mm-hmm.
It's 337-484-0172. Okay. And if you call that, most time people are there, call. If no one answered, leave a message. They will call you back, tell them how many tickets you want, to what day, reserve, and put your name down. And that's really the best way to go because it's six performances, but it is a very small and intimate theater.
Yeah.
So just to play it safe, Katiana, get out there and call them first and kind of reserve your ticket.
Yeah. Don't wait till that last minute and show up at the theater because it makes it a very rich experience to see a play performed in that space.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's also an online presence. They have an Eventbrite site. So if you just put in womansjourney.eventbrite.com.
Yes, and you're able to go in and gives you information about the shows as well. Mm-hmm. You can reserve tickets and pay for tickets there as well with that. So and it's real safe program to use to purchase online tickets, so you can do it either way. So,
right. So call or check out the Eventbrite site as well.
For students, is it $8 for students?
So discount for students, perhaps? You could call the theater now.
Yeah, call the theater. I think it is, but let me make this for sure. Okay. But yeah, definitely call the theater, and they'll give you the information for sure. Yeah.
My guest, Kimberly Johnson Nagel, who wrote A Woman's Journey, which includes Colorless and A Woman's Being.
And The Female Being.
And The Female Being. Mm-hmm. Devin Chasson is acting in the play. Bria Hobgood directing. And the dates are May 18th through the 20th and then May 25th through the 27th.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Kimberly and
thank you
Devin.
So much.
And we look forward to your future theater career here
thank you.
In
I appreciate it. It's going to be a fun time. I can promise you that. Yeah, it will be a fun time. And thank you so much for taking the time to do this for you. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. In Lake Charles, the Bayou Bell Choir presents Syncopation de Mayo, or 15 Ways to Ring a Bell. That will be performed tomorrow evening in Paxton Hall at the First United Methodist Church in Lake Charles. Starts at 7:30, and they'll be presenting pieces, a wide variety of styles, blues by Dave Brubeck, jazz by Gershwin. They'll be performing some spirituals and original works for handbells, as well as popular tunes. It's a free program, open to everyone, tomorrow evening, 7:30. That's the Bayou Bell Choir, directed by Bruce Allured. 15 Ways to Ring a Bell. And the play Rent by Jonathan Larson will be performed here at UL in Burke Hawthorne Hall Theater May 16th through the 18th and the 24th through the 26th. It is for mature audiences. Tickets are available by calling 322-4102 or at the door of Burke Hawthorne Hall at the theater on the nights of the play. The League of Women Voters will have a special luncheon to engage voters, all voters, in a discussion of school reform issues. Lafayette Parish School Superintendent Pat Cooper will be the featured speaker. The public program will be held May 17th from 12 noon to 1 p.m. at AOC Community Media in the Rosa Parks Transportation Center. The event is free and open to the public, and a complimentary lunch will be served at 11:30, just before the program. Again, that is the League of Women Voters of Lafayette. Author Ben Sanmel and musician Yvette Landry will be at Casa Azul in Gran Coteau this Thursday, May 17th. Ben Sanmel will be reading from his new book, Ernie Cato, the R&B Emperor of New Orleans. The evening includes a book signing by Ben. He'll be signing copies of Ernie Cato. Yvette Landry will perform right afterwards, and the evening will conclude with an open mic session. All are invited. The event is from 7 until 9 p.m., and we will be speaking with Ben Sanmel on Thursday about his work as a writer and musician, and in particular about this book, Ernie Cato, the R&B Emperor of New Orleans. Lots of summer camps for children this summer, including ones at the Children's Museum of Acadiana. They have a ham camp, well, they'll be learning about ham radio, a ceramics camp, a jewelry camp, and camp construction. For more information, you can go to their website. Acadiana Symphony Orchestra will have summer camps for children, as will Cité des Arts. Lots of different ones. You can go to their websites for a complete listing of all summer camps. And again, A Woman's Journey, a duo of one-act plays that will take place at Theater 810. That opens this Friday, May 18th. Tickets are available by calling the theater at 337-484-1072. And for a listing of programs on KRVS, please stop by our website, krvs.org, clicking on the schedule button for a weekly schedule, or taking a look at our list of programs and finding out more about each one. Stay tuned this afternoon and evening. We'll be with NPR's All Things Considered from 4